Ian Kemp is a physical therapist in Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada. Years of suffering numerous occurrences of back pain led him to the healthcare realm, and his experience with a cadre of practitioners led him, out of frustration, to creating AtHeartis Physical Therapy in a small room out of his home. Today, AtHeartis calls NORAC CrossFit its home, where Ian works with Winnipeg's best trainers and healthcare providers to give patients the care he knows they deserve. Ian believes that therapy should be fun, inclusive, and centered completely around the patient. He is a charismatic provider and is a newly minted instructor for Rock Tape Canada. Ian is my guest today. What's up, everybody? My name is John Campioni, and this is the Rock Tape Podcast. What is up, Ian? Ian Kemp, how are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing fantastic, sir. How are you today?
I am awesome, and I am so excited for this, because once I heard that you are joining the family, I was like, this is a perfect opportunity for a podcast, Fresh Meat. Yeah. We get to talk about kind of like the onboarding process and all that, because so many people ask me, like, how do you become an instructor? I had a very different experience than what you have, because I know the onboarding process is quite different now. But let's get down to you and talk about you first, and then kind of talk about your journey. So you are in Winnipeg. You are at the Peg Physio. And sadly, I have to admit that for a long time, I didn't quite understand your Instagram handle.
Yeah.
But I knew it didn't quite like click. You know what I'm saying? So the Peg, Winnipeg.
You got it, man. You got it.
Up in Canada, in Manitoba, I believe, if I'm correct with my provinces.
Yeah, you are. AKA the frigid north.
Northern Minnesota, basically.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
For anybody in the United States. You are in Canada, is it physio or is it physical therapist?
You know what? You can kind of go with either or, to be honest with you. Doesn't really matter. It's semantics at this point, really. You can kind of say whatever you want.
It's an interesting thing, because I never understood the difference, but I just knew that in certain areas, like Europe, for instance, it's physio. I don't see much of a difference myself. So I'm always curious about that kind of thing. So
yeah, I don't really see much of a difference, to be honest with you.
There really isn't, honestly. No. So tell us a little bit about getting into healthcare. You know, what kind of sparked your interest for being a healthcare provider, and why did you go the physical therapy route?
Yeah, so it's actually funny you asked that. I originally wanted to be a chiropractor. I remember probably, I don't know, it's like 8 or 10 years old. I remember having back pain back then. I was like walking around the mall with my parents, and I was like, oh man, I gotta sit down. You know, much like a lot of other people where they go through, you know, the whole sport realm, you have an injury, whatever it might be, you hurt yourself, you see somebody, this is the same old story. That happened to me a lot. And it was usually always kind of like some kind of a back pain. And there was one point in time, I remember vividly, it was like grade 11 or grade 12. And I fell from like super, super far up. And it really kind of buggered up my back pretty well. And it was a chiropractor that actually helped me out a lot. And that kind of started me down that path. But I was a huge wuss when I was younger. And I was like, oh man, I'm too scared to move. There's no school here in Winnipeg. All my friends are going to be gone. I don't have the money for that. So what ended up happening is that I actually took a few years off after high school. Didn't really know what I wanted to do. Stumbled back into university and kind of like, you know, sort of took my kin degree. It took me longer than most. It took me about 6 years for a 4-year degree. Because again, I didn't really know what I wanted to do. After that point, I ended up taking more time off. So I practiced as a personal trainer for a while. And I think I saw, John, you had your CSCS, right?
Yeah, I was a personal trainer for a long time while I was kind of figuring out my own pathway too. And personal training, strength and conditioning, and then into healthcare.
Right. Yeah. So I did what I assumed to be maybe the equivalent in Canada was a CSEPC CBT. So I did the same thing. And then I was like, you know what, man, like I love helping people. This whole human body thing, the injury thing fascinates me. And that's what kind of led me back to PT school.
Very cool. Yeah. It's such a interesting story that I hear a lot is like, hey, I have no idea what I want to do and where I want to go. I think a lot of people, they don't understand, you know, where to go after. And right. for me, I had a very similar experience. It's like, okay, I could pick whatever profession, but like, what do you do after that? You know, once right. you have that degree, where do you go with that too? So very interesting. Where'd you go to school?
So all my education here is in the hometown of Winnipeg. So University yeah. of Manitoba, two yeah. different campuses. There's one that's in kind of the south end of the city and the one in the central part of the city that's attached to a hospital.
Oh, cool. Cool. Yeah. Remind us, or I say remind me, because I was a bit of a geography nerd way back when. Is Winnipeg the large city in Manitoba? Is that kind of the hub of the province?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, yeah. The capital of Manitoba, if that's what you want to call it.
Is that official? Like, is that a...
I think it is. That's embarrassing that I don't know. I should have known that before I came on this nationally produced show. But yes, I will say yes.
Well, I mean, in the United States, like each state has its capital. It's something we learn in grade school all the time. And to be honest with you, I never knew if the provinces had official capital cities or anything like that. Obviously, you know, Ottawa being the capital right. of the entire country, but like, yeah. you know, I don't know. So we're getting into a weird rabbit hole right now.
It's Canadian
geography.
Oh my God. Yeah.
So when did you get out of school? When did you graduate with your PT?
So I graduated in 2015. So I'm a relative noob. But I like to say that my past in that kind of training realm and that sort of thing, I spent several years there.
Absolutely. Kind
of, yeah. That's here. So it was a natural transition.
Yeah. So what did you do once you got out? What was the plan? What's the idea? You know, as a chiropractor in the United States, I often talk to people and I say, there's really only two routes. I work for someone or I, you know, get a loan and open up my own practice. So what were the options for you?
There's, to be honest, John, there's quite a few, options. I mean, you can work in either orthopedics. You can work in that kind of the neuro realm. You can work in cardiac, respiratory, whatever it might be. The majority of those ones are probably going to be in a hospital. But the rest of it is pretty much either you take that hospital route and whatever job you pick up is what you pick up. And then after that, you do have those two options. You work for somebody in a private clinic or you start your own gig. Winnipeg, don't quote me on this in comparison to the rest of Canada, but kind of tough to find a job. Most of us usually do, but it's a struggle sometimes.
Yeah. What ideas did you have as far as going out into practice? Did you have a very specific thought process? Like, I'm definitely doing this one, or were you still kind of like,
I knew from day one that I wanted to kind of be in that ortho realm. Again, you know, the usual story coming from that sport background. I wanted to help the quote unquote, the athlete. Right. Meanwhile, you'll once you get in, you're like, oh, that doesn't really exist. so basically it's just kind of like people that actually want to get better and actually want to work at. Those are the people that I always wanted to work with. And I knew that at some point I wanted to start my own gig, whether that was just a little side hustle project or whether that was something bigger. That was always the end goal. And I've kind of started doing that now, which is great. And we'll kind of see how it goes.
How long did it take you to really, eventually open up your own place?
I think I've only been doing my own gig, and I started off my house, actually, to be honest with you, probably 4 years, 4.5 years, something like that.
Okay.
To be honest with you, I mean, I probably could have done it sooner, but the timing just wasn't right, and I just didn't feel confident, and you know.
Yeah, there's a lot to that. You know, financially is one thing, but then just having the...
Well, like that financial piece is huge, too, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So we have a couple kind of practices, I think, if I'm you know, kind of looking at your profile, you have Winnipeg Spine and Sports Therapy, and then I hope I'm saying it right, Adhartus Physical Therapy?
You got it. Yeah, so Adhartus is mine. It's Scottish Gaelic for progress.
Oh, cool.
It took me a super long time to try and figure out a unique term, but I have a lot of Scottish Gaelic heritage, and I just thought, you know, why don't I just plug this into a kind of like an engine on Google and just see what I come up with. I kind of chose that name just because, I mean, of what people like you, people like Shante, and people like the whole Rock Day family and that kind of thing talk about, where it's about, you know, striving for change and trying to be the change that you want to see in the world, right? So that's why I started that up. And Winnipeg Spine and Sport, that's a part-time gig as well. I started working with a friend of mine, he's a chiropractor, Jeff. And it's funny, he actually knows Capo. I think he went to school.
Oh, yeah.
So, cool. Pretty unique connection there.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
So what's your practice style like when you're, you know, at your facility? What can a patient expect? You know, we all have kind of our own unique personalities when it comes to the way that we practice, but you know, what's your style? What's something that you got out of school saying, this is how I really want to be treating my patients?
Yeah, great question, John. And it's something I've often asked myself as well. Like, you know, what is it? What is my practice style? I don't really think I have one, to be honest with you. I remember, I'll relate it back to when I was going through some issues myself with back pain and other related issues. And this sounds terrible, but I remember being kind of bitter. You know, the same old story where you'd go somewhere and you'd see the therapist for a few minutes. The rest of the time was waiting. They'd throw you into the gym with exercises and you could do them at home. There was no kind of guidance and that sort of thing. I thought, man, it's gotta be better than this. And it was always kind of cold, you know, like there was no fun. So I was like, you know, I just want to be human first. Right. Mm-hmm. So I guess that's what you expect or what you will get when you come see me. I like to laugh. I like to crack jokes. And one thing I think that's missing is that listening piece, right? Like, I can't tell you how many people come in to see me and they're like, God, I just need somebody to listen to me. I just need them to actually like pay attention and get a good history in me, and treat me like a human being versus just somebody kind of getting out of the door. So that's kind of how I see things, see my practice, having fun and being that human first and figure the rest of you go along.
That's such a great point. You know, it's a huge thing we push at a lot of the Rock Tape seminars, is kind of just looking at the individual there itself. And I mean, you know, if you want to call it your style, that's one thing, that's up to you, but that is such an important component to have in any practice, I think, is just make sure you're recognizing the individual. You never know. Somebody might, after a great conversation, somebody might walk away feeling less pain.
Yeah.
It's very possible.
It's such a powerful tool. Just feeling comfortable and it's just having to even just get stuff off your chest is amazing. So,
yeah. Tell us about at Hardis and how you kind of got it started. And then, you know, what's your kind of your future for that? Is this, I see, you know, a lot of pictures on the website, looking at you lifting. It looks like you've got kind of a very open floor plan, almost like a CrossFit box in a way too. So, you know, what's it like in that facility?
So you're right. Yeah, it's definitely a CrossFit box. It's one of the newest CrossFit boxes here in Winnipeg. It was started by what I would call now a friend of mine, Megan. Prior to that, like I'd known her before and a couple of her business partners, and I'd never really talked to her much, but I kind of just reached out and we knew that, you know, with expecting our first child in September, I probably wouldn't be able to continue my practice out of the house for much longer. So I reached out to Megan and just on a whim, I was like, hey, you know, like you got a spot. Yeah, I'd love to work in a CrossFit gym. Not that, you know, CrossFit athletes are my, you know, main, clientele, but, I love working with that population and just the drive and determination with them is fantastic. I think the whole idea, like I said before, was just trying to have something that creates that change. The model that I want to see is that one that spends the time with people, that listens to them, that takes a super thorough history, because the mystery is always in that history. And really just kind of like, you know, create that bond, with that patient. So started in my house, manifested into NORAC CrossFit, a few months back. And honestly, like it's just building and building and building ever since. I'd like that to be my number one at some point in time. But I'm perfectly happy where I am now. I don't know if I want to be any bigger than that. We'll kind of see. I kind of fly by the seat of my pants.
I love that. I mean, those people are the best people at adaptation when they need to.
Yeah.
Like you're malleable. You are resilient when you can kind of fly by the seat of your pants too.
Of course. It's also extremely stressful, but, it's done well so far.
Yes. You're also very wound up. Very, very tight. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you participate in CrossFit? Are you,
I did. Okay. I did. And when I say I did, it's kind of like, I'm kind of like in a transition. I like to think of myself as the person that pushes myself too hard, even though I know better a lot of the time. So there was a period of time when I was going to a different CrossFit gym here in the city, loved it, you know, would go 4 or 5 times a week. I have some serious bodily restrictions that I have should not have used within that CrossFit setting. So I think that led to some other, you know, continued physical ailments. So I've kind of shelved it for right now. I'm trying to get back in, but I'm trying to do it smart this time, instead of just kind of going, you know, all out and not worrying that I can't get my shoulder over my head.
I love when you can admit that, especially as a healthcare provider, is like, I shouldn't be doing that.
No. And I tell people that, you know, I'm like, I'd love to do it. I know that I'm just going to be an idiot and I'm going to go out there and my one shoulder that I can't get over my head very well, I'm just going to hang from that bar and do it anyway. Yeah. And that's a terrible thing to say to a patient when they're like, well, you're telling me not to do that. Or you know what I mean? So it doesn't work. Yeah.
Do you have, like a lot of clinicians, do you have a favorite body part that you like to work on? Is it something that you kind of fell into? Like I, you know, kind of fell into being a shoulder guy. I just love the shoulder and I, you know, have a lot of people come in with shoulders.
Yeah.
So I became a shoulder guy.
Yeah. It's funny how, I mean, did you say you had something wrong with your shoulder, John? Is that how you kind of got into it?
No, I didn't. It just, I started to see a lot and then just studied more on it. And I just started to, you know, got into it. And, you know, when I was in practice with my wife, and we almost became specialists in certain body parts, is like all the shoulder cases came to me. All the knee cases went to Christina. So.
Yeah. It's funny you asked that question because we got that email from Ethan the other day and I thought, favorite body part, what the heck? I told Ethan skin, if he's listening, hopefully he doesn't hear this. It's kind of skin and low back. I mean, but I relate that just to my own experiences, and having numerous episodes of debilitating back pain. So, I find it such a multifaceted thing, that it just kind of keeps me on my toes all the time. And anybody that comes in with back pain, I go like, ooh, here's a nice mystery. What's leading to this? So I'd say that.
It's funny what you were mentioning, to anybody listening is, we get some stuff sent to us before our annual instructors meeting. And we'll talk about this. You've become a rock tape instructor. But Ethan Christworth, one of our higher ups, sent us an email and it was like, fill out this, it's basically like a rudimentary questionnaire, you know, name, profession, horoscope, all that stuff. And it was like favorite body part. And they're going to use it for something at the meeting. Yeah. I have no idea what it is. So I can't, you know, speak to that. I'm not keeping anything from anybody, but I want to ask you, an answer to one of these, because I'm very curious about that. What's your biggest, who's your biggest crush?
Oh, it's funny. I thought you were going to ask the exact same question. And I was like, I hope my wife's not here right now. I think she's upstairs, but she probably can't hear me. So I actually had two. But my first one, and it's funny, this kind of always changes. And I don't know if she knows that this is my crush right now, but I definitely say Daisy Ridley.
Cool. Yeah. We're going to talk about Star Wars.
A fellow Canadian, hopefully she's not listening either. That'd be kind of embarrassing. Camille LeBlanc-Bazinet. So she, was a former, I think it was 2014. I forget. Don't quote me on that year. CrossFit champion. Super smart, super funny. Real inspiration to anybody out there that's wanting to be fit and live a healthy life. So those are my two.
You'll be happy to know that mine was a Canadian too.
Oh, who?
Ryan Reynolds.
Damn it. That's what I should have said. Can I change mine to Hugh Jackman?
You can throw whatever you want on there. I say make a huge list, you know?
Okay, yeah. That's funny.
How do you determine your biggest?
Ryan Reynolds. Nice.
All right. So before we get into, you know, how you became an instructor, because that is always an interesting process.
Yeah.
And I, like I said, I do get a lot of questions about that. So I think that's really good information for anybody who might in the future be looking into that.
Right.
Within your practice, after you got out of school, you started practicing, or even before then, how did you discover rock tape? You know, what drew you to rock tape?
So I think it was 2012 or 2013, probably 2013. There was a girl in my class in PT school and she sent an email. She's like, hey, there's this taping course that's coming to Winnipeg. And having been to a few CrossFit gyms before and followed some CrossFit stuff on social media and seeing, you know, online, I'd seen rock tape a lot of times before. I was like, oh man, this stuff looks cool. So when that opportunity came up, I was like, for sure, I'm totally in. And at that point in time, I think it was taught by Ben Stevens.
Lived in British Columbia, I think.
Yeah. So it was kind of exam time and there was a lot of our classmates that didn't go because they're like, oh, I gotta study for exams. And I was like, ah, I don't care. I'd rather learn this other stuff.
Spoken like a true student.
So I took tape then and it sounds cheesy, man, but it was fully an eye opener. And I always say to people, like, you know, even when I was in PT school, I kind of felt like I didn't really know what I was doing. Like there was all these people, being like, yeah, I can feel this supraantrolateral glide of this bone and this thing. And I was like, I can't feel this. This doesn't make sense. I feel like I'm an idiot. As soon as I took that rock tape course, it just kind of changed my view 180. And it was game over from there, man. As soon as that happened, I was like, I got to work for this company someday. I don't know how I'm going to do it. It's going to happen. So that's when it all started.
That's so cool that, you know, kind of a long period of time. So you said 2012, right?
Or 13,
something like that. Yeah. So roughly 7 years, you know, just kind of almost like waiting for the opportunity. That's really cool. You know?
Yeah. It's funny, actually. I had a conversation with Julia and before this whole kind of process started with me trying to weasel my way in there, I was like, yeah, you know, like one of my lifetime goals is working for Rock Tape. And she ended up telling Ethan that. And Ethan was like, wow, he needs some better goals. I had a pretty good laugh at that. And I was like, oh, way to crush my hopes and dreams, man.
Anybody's goals is important to them, right?
Yeah.
So then how did the process begin? You know, I have to say and also thank and compliment you. You're so engaging on Instagram. And that is how we, you know, quote unquote, know each other, because we follow each other on Instagram, you engage, you talk, you make comments, and you're also very polite too. You're not a troll. You're not just picking on people because they posted something that you don't particularly agree with. You're very engaging. My wife, Christina, loves having conversations with you as well on Instagram.
Yeah.
And you're, you know, like if I was asked a year ago, would you be a good fit? I'd be like, yeah, absolutely. So how did the process start for you? Did someone contact you? You've had this goal for a number of years. Yeah, did you reach out again, or did somebody finally call you?
It's funny you say that, just going back to what you just said about that conversation. You're like, yeah, I would have picked him. Like, it's funny. I have this conversation with my wife a lot of times. She's like, you gotta have some better self-confidence, man. I was like, there's no way somebody would want me just from talking on Instagram. That sounds ridiculous. but whatever, it worked. Anyway, so I took Blades, again, probably 2016. So it was a couple years between tape and something else, Rock Tape. But that was when I finally had a little bit extra money and it's more time. And Mitch was teaching it. I believe it was in Fargo. And I'd kind of forgotten about it a little bit. It was kind of in the back of my head. I was like, there's no way I can work for this company. Everybody's too smart. And so I talked to Mitch and I was like, hey, Mitch, you know, I really want to do what you do. I love your charisma up there. It just seems so awesome. And I love being a part of this team that always wants to push the boundaries and learn more and learn new stuff. And so he basically just kind of put me on an email thread between him and I think it was Ethan and maybe Allison. Yeah. And at that point in time, they're like, yeah, you know, we're not really hiring, but like, you know, thanks. We'll keep an eye out. And I was like, okay, cool. At least I got a response. You know, how many times do you email someone and they just go like, nah, I only care about this. So then it was just kind of like sporadic stuff kind of through the years of me kind of like, you know, the whole social media boom. You know, finding Shantae and finding Perry and finding you and like, you know, talking to Mitch and all that kind of different stuff. And just kind of like starting to talk and starting to kind of put myself out there. And then, I think, I don't know if it was 1 or 2 years, as you can tell by this conversation, my sense of time is terrible. I think the next year, cause I waited a full year. I waited and I emailed them again. And I think around this time I was talking to Shantae. I was like, Shantae, give me the tips. How do I do this? And she was like, just email Allison. It's not that hard. You idiot. So I was like, okay. So I emailed Allison and I think Ethan again, and maybe I put Capo on there. And I kind of put my tagline as like, Shantae made me do it. Hoping that that would kind of like open the door and they'd see this amongst the others that might be there. Yeah. And I don't know for a fact, but I think that might have worked. And they're like, you know, like you're kind of late. We're not really doing it again. I was like, damn it. So that's okay, but I got a little bit closer this time. A couple more emails. I tried to be a little bit funny. And then I think it was a full year later. So this past October, I randomly got a message on Instagram from Steve. And Steve, it was like three words. It was like, looking for a Canadian instructor, you in. And I was like, yes.
We're so formal and professional too, right?
Yeah. And I was like, I can't believe this happened this way. It blows my mind. And we had people over at that point in time. And like, I jumped up and like threw my phone and like scared our newborn. And they were like, what's going on? I was like, I just got a message from Kappa. And they were like, who the hell's that? And I was like, Yeah. But yeah, man, that's honestly how it started. Just slow process.
That's awesome.
Hacking away.
Yeah. Oh, that is so cool. So you and I want to say from memory, I know Rafael Castro, who's been on the podcast before.
Yeah.
And then two other people. Was it four of you guys?
Yeah, four. So it was me, Jamie Moore, and Carolyn Seidel. Sorry, Carolyn, if I pronounce that wrong. Seidel. She's going to get mad at me for that. Anyway.
I think I've met Carolyn, actually.
Yeah, she's awesome. I think the whole crew was awesome.
Yeah, like I've heard of Jamie, Caroline, and then I know you and Raph as well too. So definitely always a great group. But you know, I saw you posting about going to Denver, kind of doing your onboarding process. Was that October as well?
Yes.
Yeah. Yep. So tell everybody kind of what you went through. You know, I think a lot of people would love to peek behind the curtain and kind of understand, like, what does it take to be an instructor after you get that call?
Yeah. It was definitely, nerve-wracking. No idea what to expect. But I watched a few videos. Like we'd, you know, been shared some of the decks and some of the videos to kind of see what to expect, that sort of thing. And I think it was Julia or something like that. She was like, "Don't worry, you're already in. It's not like this is like an interview. This is just us finally kind of meeting face to face and going through all the different teaching decks, you know, going through tape, going through blades, going through pod floss, going through like that pedagogy, that type of stuff and how to teach and basically just kind of do it in an informal setting, and just kind of like fire off of each other and learn from Ethan. And Ethan was awesome. First time I met him, super, super fun, super engaging. And I find that that's how some of the best learning atmospheres are. Like they're not formal. They're going over some serious stuff, but let's all come together and put our collective minds together and learn this stuff and see how we can get better. So it was a lot of fun.
Yeah. So did you guys get an opportunity to literally go through all of the classes, or did you kind of have a focus? Like, are they gearing you more towards, hey, we want you to focus on this class, and throughout the year, we'll start to get you into more things?
I think that was the plan, to go through all of it kind of with like a fine tooth comb, but,
happens that way. No,
not even close. So we kind of tackled some areas we thought we might have, some issues with, maybe some teachables, maybe some, you know, stuff like, you know, questions that might be posed, to the instructors. I think that's going to be a tough one. But there was no specific focus. Go through what we knew, kind of skim through what we knew, go through a little bit more in depth some of the stuff we didn't know or didn't know very well or how to teach very well, and just kind of go from there.
Now, have you done or had you done any shadowing prior to that?
Yeah, sort of.
Okay. I mean, you took classes yourself, so.
Yes, I did. So. I actually took all, with the exception of tape, I took the rest of the classes down the States. So, in Minnesota and, North Dakota,
oh, cool.
'Cause it was easy for me. I could just drive down and, it was like, I think it was Julia. So Julia was here end of September. And so I kind of wanted to get some more rock tape stuff here, 'cause there hasn't really been much here aside from tape. And, I kind of assisted her, and just kind of like helped out with the class. So that was my shadowing that I did. I feel like mine has been a little bit faster, than most. But, to answer your question, yeah, I did a little bit of work with Julia.
Excellent. Very cool. So what are you most, excited to be teaching? Do you have a favorite class? Do you have a favorite tool or anything like that?
I do.
Yeah,
I use tape a lot. But I think pods floss, man. The versatility of those two tools. In fact, I tell almost every single person, like friends, family, patients, I'm like, if I only had this set of pods and this floss band, I could, you know, tackle the world. Just the ability to use those for so many different ways through touch, through that visual learning, through that compression. It's mind blowing. Yeah. So versatile.
Do you have, maybe you want to share a favorite application that you like to use with the pods and maybe one with the floss?
Yeah. I like to actually kind of combine the two, to be honest with you. I'll use myself as an example. So I have, posted a few times on Instagram. I have this janky ankle and, it's been bugging me since I was like 14, but I never really realized it was a problem until now. And, so I have a lot of issues with trying to externally rotate my left leg. So I really enjoy that helical pattern, using that floss band to try and encourage that external rotation in my leg. And I'll use some pods to kind of like bring some sensory awareness to my QL on that side, you know, hip abductors on that side to help me engage there better, and just kind of go through some functional patterns, whether it's some, you know, single leg RDLs, deadlifts, balance, whatever it might be. But just having those two tactile inputs, it's awesome.
Now, had you been using floss prior to that, prior to learning from our course?
Yes. I had no clue what I was doing at all.
That's the question I was getting to. Yes. What you described with that helical pattern is so far off what most people know from floss. We know you wrap it up, it's compressive, and you just move until you can't bear it anymore, and it makes you looser, and it gives you more joint mobility and tissue mobility. But we teach that application where we use it more for sensory cueing, which doesn't mean you have to wrap it up super tight. And that helical pattern is my favorite too.
Yeah.
And it's just, I was so curious to know if that was anything that you played around with before that, or if that's something you learned specifically through Rock Tape.
Yeah, it was specifically through Rock Tape. I am not that smart to come up with something like that. So I was, you know, from the traditional, whereas, you know, you see it on with Kelly Starrett, you know, when he first started. Ability wad. And I was like, oh man, I want one of these cool bands because I see it in CrossFit and I'm going to do the same thing and not learn about it. So basically in the past, you know, it was like you'd use it for somebody who had like, you know, some swelling or you had for some pain or whatever it is. It would work. I would have no idea why it worked. It was sad that at some point I didn't care as long as it worked and it was safe. But once you know, you just like, you know, like Rock Tape says, right? Like once you have a concept, you have a million different tools, right? And it's that concept that just like, you know, blows your mind and opens the door for possibilities.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's such an important thing too, is nothing is finite. There are so many more applications that are probably out there that, you know, we haven't even thought of. I haven't thought of, you know, so there's so many cool things with that too, but you're right. You know, a lot of people, they wrap it up, they just kind of, work through it and that's perfectly fine. That's great. But there's so much more to it with just this one little band. And I think that's so cool. Like if you just had that one tool, you would be set for life.
Yeah. It's so, man, I could use nothing else but those two and I'd be okay.
The pods too. Really, really cool stuff.
Yep.
All right, sir. So how old's your baby?
He is 3.5 months old.
So you just had a baby. Congratulations.
Yeah, thanks, man. I appreciate that. It's definitely a whirlwind. I was thinking to myself the other day, I was like, yeah, like he's really gone from this, you know, screaming raisin to this little man, and he's smiling and he's got these dimples. And I'm like, I don't have dimples. My wife doesn't. Where did you get these dimples from? This is the cutest thing ever.
Yeah.
And he's like, he's using his hands all the time now. And it's just, I mean, you've been there, right? You have one kid, two kids, John?
I've got two kids. I've got a son and a daughter, four and two.
Yeah. It's awesome. It's awesome.
So, if you don't mind me asking you, you know, with the travel of working, you know, is that something that you've thought about, is, you know, how much you're going to be traveling as a new father, teaching for Rock Tape?
I did. That is a contentious issue, currently.
Sure,
of course. I really had no idea. In fact, I still kind of, I'm not really too sure how much I'm going to be traveling each year. My understanding is that, you know, it's kind of based on demand. And I think Canada's nowhere near as busy as you guys are down in the States with Rock Tape courses. Mm-hmm. I do know, that I'm traveling a lot, like 4 out of 5 weekends in a row, starting in January. Well, at least one of them is for the instructor summit.
Right.
Which would be awesome. But it's going to be tough, but I think it's going to be okay. We got a great, my brother and sister-in-law, they're expecting soon too. So my wife will be able to kind of hang with them, and my parents are great, and my mom always comes and helps out too. So it might be tough if I travel a lot, but I think if I have the opportunity to kind of pick and choose where I go this year, I can be home more. And then once he's a little more independent, then we can kind of go from there.
Yeah, I asked the question because I think that's something that a lot of people are always curious about, is like, how do you travel so much? You know, you have a family and all that stuff. Is, to be honest with you, it's support of that family. That's basically what it is. It is.
I mean, like my wife, like she's definitely my rock, man. And she doesn't like that I have to travel all this much. But she's so supportive, and she's so happy that I've accomplished one of these life goals. So.
Yeah, and that's something you should definitely be proud of. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So what are you expecting at the Instructor Summit? I'm so curious as a newbie, you know, you've probably heard stuff, you've probably seen posts. You know?
I have, and Ethan kind of alluded to it with a few lewd pictures during the boot camp. Nothing too perverse, might I add, but it just kind of gave us an idea that, okay, well, come to learn, but come prepared to get your party hat on too. So I have no idea what to expect, but I think it's going to be a whirlwind.
Did Ethan show you the skydive video?
No, at least I don't think he did.
Okay. You know, you would have known exactly okay. what I'm talking about if he
yeah.
did.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll talk off air.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure it's become a tradition to show it every year, but it's a very funny story that okay. comes out of indoor skydiving, nothing awesome. Outdoor. So,
okay, good. I'm looking forward to
and
that.
It involves Ethan. So I'm curious why.
Oh, good.
I think I know why he didn't show you. Exactly.
Okay. Awesome.
We love you, Ethan, if you're listening.
Yeah, totally.
So, you had a post, I believe it was yesterday, you had a post, may the nerdiness be with you, Star Wars shirt. You are, not even a closet, but you are a huge Star Wars fan, huh?
Yeah. I mean, again, like I said in the post, I'm not a massive fan. Like, it's funny. My brother-in-law's brother sent me a message. He's like, dude, I have a Boba Fett costume you can wear to the premiere. I was like, I'm not that much of a nerd. But I definitely love it, man. Like anything Star Wars, anything superheroes, like, I had so many action figures growing up and like Ninja Turtles stuff. And my buddy Brad and I, if Brad's listening, we'd play hours of Nintendo, Super Nintendo video games. Like, I'm surprised we even have wives, to be honest with you, and children. That's a miracle in itself. I just love that adventure, man. It's so fun.
Were you a comic book guy?
I was, but... So my cousin, I kind of talked about him in there too. He's an animator. He actually works for Pixar.
Oh, cool.
He was the one, he's a phenomenal artist. He was the one that kind of got me into the whole kind of comic book realm. And I was the kid that was like, I just want to look at the pictures. I don't want to read. did I have a lot of comic books? Yes. Okay. Did I read all of them? No.
Sure.
Do I now? Yes. Again, ask my wife, like, when Avengers Infinity War came out, I went and I bought like a bunch of like graphic novels, and she was like, you're such a dork.
And you're stuck with me.
Totally. Yeah, you're screwed. Yeah.
Do you have a favorite superhero?
Spider-Man, 100%.
Really? Why?
I think I'm like him. I'm nowhere near as smart, but I'm skinny, and I have brown hair. And I've always been pretty... I don't know, not necessarily limber, but like bouncy, energetic, like I can climb weird things. That's me.
You can climb weird things? I got to ask you more about that.
Yeah. I'll tell you more stories offline about that too. Always trying to climb trees when I was a kid. And again, that was from my cousin too. And I guess I just thought I was Spider-Man back then too, but
yeah.
What about you?
Superhero wise, I never thought about it. I wasn't really big into comics myself, but I had one of my best friends. I mean, he still is in that world, you know. He's a like a internet celebrity kind of style thing, but I never really got into him myself. But I was always fascinated with the Infinity War saga. So that when Marvel started that 10-year trek of leading up to it, I was always a fan of Thanos. You know, I tend to like villains. It's weird.
I don't know if that's a bad thing or not. Like,
I have a reason. It's like, you know, everybody's against them, and then I'm kind of like, I can see their point.
Yeah.
You know?
I can see.
I don't know what that says about me, but yeah, I'm trying to see both sides of the coin. You know, like I watch Phantom of the Opera. I root for the Phantom because I'm like, Raoul's kind of a jerk. So
interesting. You have a sinister side, John. Yeah.
I have a bit of a sinister. It's more of a contentious, just contrarian side. That comes out, I think. So that's usually what it is. Yeah.
Fair enough.
So let me know, with your vast knowledge, is there anything in particular right now you're reading? Anything you could recommend from your reading? Or maybe it's something you saw on YouTube or anything?
Yeah. So I I've started to go down this whole kind of breathing diaphragm kind of route.
Cool.
I have a hiatus hernia. So if anybody doesn't know, that's where a piece of my stomach comes up through my diaphragm. And I don't know if I was born with that. I don't know if it was something that happened when I was younger, no idea. But I've kind of been on this sort of self-exploration thing for the last kind of couple of years, trying to figure out how can I fix this? How do I fix this? What's going on? I know playing competitive soccer growing up, I was always the last guy off the field. I hated doing laps. I was always sucking wind. And I was like, what the hell is going on here? So anyway, long story short, I recently listened to a podcast. I think it was one of Perry's. He had Patrick McKeown on from the Oxygen Advantage. So I recently picked up that book. I'm only a few pages in, but really, really, really powerful stuff. The power of breathing and the diaphragm as it relates to bodily function and stability and mobility, et cetera. That's kind of where my brain's going now. And, I'm excited. In mid-January, I'm flying down to LA, to take, IKN, Integrated Kinetic Neurology.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
So I'm pretty pumped about that. I always see you posting all the time about all this kind of nerdy brain stuff. And I'm like, I want to be like John's. Where can I start?
You don't want to be like me. yeah. That's my geekiness is we were talking about that list Ethan gave us. Favorite body part, cerebellum.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah.
That's everybody's probably, I think I put / scapula, but no, it's probably, I put cerebellum because like, that's just, it's so fascinating to me. With just, you know, its components with movement and just the things that we can do with it as far as our treatment plan. So yeah. You don't want to be like me. Don't jump down those rabbit holes.
Okay. What I'll do is I'll just close this conversation right now. And,
So I got to ask you too, especially with a hernia like that, have you tried any particular techniques, applications, maybe some of the rock tape stuff that's shown you any benefit, anything that our listeners can kind of take away from that?
Yeah, I've used, I don't have any formal training from Jill Miller, but I have a ball that's similar to her Gorgeous ball. If anybody doesn't really know, it's basically just kind of like a mini stability ball that you can really kind of use to slowly get into some of your tissues and around your ribs and around your diaphragm. Use it as a training tool. I'll use that as a training tool sometimes to try and direct my breath to different parts of my thorax that I can't really get at. I love using the 4-inch floss just kind of to, as again, more of that sort of feedback mechanism, right? Strap it around my ribs, strap it around my abdomen, breathe into areas of restriction, and I really notice a massive difference, not only in energy and freeness of my body, but in an ability to breathe after that too. It opens a magical door.
That is so cool. That's a big thing we talk about in the movement assessment course. And the breathing is such a fascinating thing. It's one of those things where it's like people are like, you're teaching me how to breathe. I literally do it every day. But we see so much power coming from it. And it's interesting you tell us, you know, about the hiatal hernia. Like that's a huge impact on obviously your diaphragm and obviously on your breath. So it's so cool to see special cases like that and just the advantage you can have with just some of this manual work and some of this exercise.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Is that something you use a lot with your patients? Is a lot of breathing exercises?
I try to a lot more now. I try to kind of have like a template of things that sometimes fit, sometimes don't. But for the most part, I mean, I know that Joe Lovac has a lot about like, you know, hey, get good rest, you know, eat well, that type of thing. I like to incorporate some type of breathing with most of my patients, even if they don't really have any kind of specific breathing restriction or breathing problem. Just being able to downregulate their nervous system by stimulating that kind of vagal pathway is massive for pain and even anybody that's a little bit more anxious like myself. It's just an awesome adjunct to most of my treatments I'll use too.
I'll pass along an interesting article that I found. It was diaphragm manipulation actually improved hamstring extensibility.
I just saw that. Where was that?
Z Health. Eric Cobb posted it.
Yeah. I haven't read that yet.
But I haven't looked through. I scanned through the abstract. I haven't gotten a chance to sit down, but it's stuff like that. It's like, yes, there. This is what I want to see. You know, that's what's showing you a lot of people the power of the things that we can do.
Super cool.
Super, super cool. So, definitely take a look at the Peg Physio on Instagram. How else can people get a hold of you, Ian? Social media, your website. Go ahead and plug it.
Yeah, social media is usually the easiest. Like I say in a lot of my posts, that DM's always open. I like to say it's 24/7, but I'll be brutally honest. If DM comes in at 4 a.m, I'm probably not answering it because I'm asleep or I'm feeding my son. One of the two.
I was going to say, you should be up with the baby.
Yeah. Yeah. Website is great. You can contact me on there as well. I'm always open for people to email me as well. People like email. I don't know if you want me to spit that out here, John, if you want to link it in the show notes or something. Or
yeah, we can link it in the show notes. Your website, adhartaspt. Yeah. So yep. adhartaspt.com. And then also at Winnipeg Spine and Sport Therapy, right?
Yeah, yeah, all that's totally fine as well.
And then definitely Instagram. Check out Instagram, yeah.
Yeah, 100%.
Your Jack Russell tamer label really made me laugh on that too, because I've seen the pictures that you post to your dog. It's really cool.
That's incredibly false. I have no control over him whatsoever.
No, you're not a tamer of the Jack Russell.
I like to think I am, but no. Close.
Yeah, close. All right. So check out the Peg Physio on Instagram. Check out Winnipeg Spine and Sport Therapy. Yes, Winnipeg Spine and Sport Therapy. Yeah. And definitely at Hardest PT. And then definitely check out Rock Tape Canada specifically. Yeah. So, you know, being in the States, is the website, remind me of the website, is it Rock Tape? .com and we can link through Canada, or is it rocktape.ca where they can take a look at where you might be teaching some courses?
That's actually funny that you asked that question. I think it's rocktape canada.com, but it could just be .ca.
I've never thought about it.
Neither did I. All this I know is when I go to Google and I type in Rock Tape, I click on the Canada one.
There you go. Well, this is the candid stuff that I love to have on the show. So if you go to rocktape.com, go down all the way to the page. You have a list of essentially continents and regions. Go to the Americas tab, and then you can click on Canada. They also have Brazil, Chile, and Mexico, and the United States. And that is how you can find where Ian is going to be teaching Rock Tape next. So definitely check that out. Can you tell us, you know, where your first course of the new year is going to be?
Yeah, so far, January 25th, 26th, I will be in Ottawa. Awesome, awesome city. If anybody ever chance to go there, it's absolutely gorgeous. A week later, I'm in Montreal.
Cool.
What is that, February 1st, 2nd or something like that? And then March 7th or March 8th, I'm here in the hometown, and that'll be at the gym that I work out of at NORAC CrossFit. So I'm pretty excited to get the ball rolling.
It's always nice when you can kind of host in your own home area, right?
Yeah, it's going to be great.
What are you going to be teaching? You got a mix of stuff, or are you teaching one particular thing?
I'm pretty positive it's all tape. Get that under the proverbial belt, and then whatever happens, happens. Hopefully we get a few pod floss in there. I want to bust out some of that pods floss love.
I would love to see you nerd out at a pods and floss class as the instructor.
Hey, one day, man.
That will be very, very fun. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, very cool. Definitely check that out. Definitely check out Ian. Reach out to him. He is a great follow and a great discussion. Ian, thank you so much for taking the time, man.
Yeah. Thank you so much, John. It's a real pleasure, man. It still doesn't feel real.
Definitely real, my friend. And I will be seeing you in sunny Mexico.
Yeah, you bet. I can't wait.